Hello and welcome to the Everything BDSM podcast. I'm your host, Rope Tiger Daddy. This is episode number 2. And first episode we did just a brief introduction of what we're going to talk about on this podcast. And today's podcast is actually going to be about my tenets of DS and my thoughts about those tenets. So just basically how I approach DS and how I believe would be beneficial for everyone to approach DS. Of course, DS is a very personal thing for a lot of people and something that you can't necessarily have one, what we call one true way. A lot of people look down upon that one true way kind of thing. I'm of a mind that DS has certain things that have to be met. And then beyond that, it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you're kind of following those things. You can kind of twist it and make it your own. I shouldn't say twist it, more like adapt it to your own life, you know, that of you and your partner or partners. You're able to kind of mold that into what you want it to be. But there's certain things that just for me aren't really negotiable. People can call that one true way. They can call it gatekeeping. They can call it whatever they want. This is just my thoughts. So I wrote this writing about this, and it got some good comments, but also some bad comments. Every time I talk about holding dominants accountable and holding submissives accountable and, you know, doing the things that we promised we're going to do and the things that the words mean, people either love it or they hate it. And, that's a good description of everything I write, for the most part. So, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about what my tenets are. Again, these are just mine. You don't have to take them. You don't have to listen to them. You can hit the stop button right now and you don't have to listen to my thoughts, but you know, a lot of people do like to hear what I have to say and do believe I'm talking some truth about it. So what can I say? I'm just going to always speak how I feel about things. And if people can't process that, then that's not necessarily my problem. So I don't want to have a sponsor thing on every episode, but I do want to mention my shop, sharppointedthings.com. All one word, no spaces. Check that out. And then also, if you are on FetLife and you check out my profile, Rope Tiger Daddy, I am running a Kickstarter right now where we're launching our new underwear brand. So please check that out if you got a chance, if you want to support me, if you like the podcast so far, if you know, you just are looking for sexy underwear or sharp toys to be sadistic with. So getting into this, my tenets of DS and my thoughts. So I'm a big proponent of when you say you're going to be a dominant, being a dominant. And I don't mean being controlling. I don't mean being stupid about it. I don't mean, you know, being an asshole. I mean living up to what the word means. So if you're going to dominate someone else, I think you should be able to dominate your own life. And I don't mean like being an alpha male and all that dumb bullshit. I mean literally having some control over your life. And I don't mean having everything under control, and I don't mean having everything licked, and I don't mean having, you know, ultimate power over everything. You can't. You know, there's things like money and illnesses and, you know, kids and parents, and you know, there's a million things you can't dominate. But there's things you can dominate. You know, you can control your health to a large degree with how you take care of your body, what you eat, how you stay fit. You can take care of your mind, what you're consuming, you know, social media, reading, things like that. So there's things you can control. There's things you can't control. I'm not talking about controlling the things you can't control. You can't control if, you know, your kid gets sick. You can't control if, you know, a partner has a mental illness. You can't control those things. You can only control what you can control. But if you're not controlling the things you can control, to me, that is a problem. So kind of getting into number one, this goes the opposite way for the submissive. I don't believe in having, you know, a dominant get with the submissive if the submissive's broken, if they have nothing to give. And what I call this is you can't get power from a dead wire. So if, like, the electricity is not running through a wire, you know, you can't plug your stuff in, you know, into the outlet from that wire and get power from it. So a lot of people come at the power exchange from a point of I have to give power, right? But you, if you don't have any power to give, then there's no power being exchanged. You're not exchanging anything. You're exchanging a problem for someone to fix the problem. So for me, giving power and receiving has to be done honestly. The dominant can't take the power because they're just an asshole and they want to wield power. And the submissive can't say they're giving power but give nothing. So there's also this concept of the submissive has power, but you have to fight the submissive to get the power. I'm not a believer in that. Some people will call it bratting. If you listen to this show long enough and I do enough episodes, you're going to hear some thoughts I have on bratting. And I don't dislike brats. I've known brats. I've been in dynamics with brats. Brats are my friends, some of them. But a lot of them use it as an excuse to dominate things and call it submission. And it's not. So basically, I believe the dominant should never take power. The sub should never attempt to give power the submissive doesn't have. We all bring something to the table. What are we bringing to the table? If all we're bringing to the table is things that need fixed, then we're not bringing anything to the table. Now, my second one is, I kind of talked about that a little bit before we got into the first one, about how I don't believe dominants should try to secure power that they can't handle. So, meaning if you can't control your own life, how the hell are you going to control someone else's life? So, also giving, you know, also receiving power should be done from an honest place. If you're just trying to get it because you feel out of control, and I know there's people out there that play at it, and that's fine if you're playing at it, and you don't get control in your everyday life over anything, and you want to feel some control, you're playing at it. Just be honest about that, that there's no shame in that. There's lots of people that do that. But that's not what's considered like a 24/7 DS. That's considered, you know, I go and I play at this in the bedroom, or I play at this at times, and that's fine. It's fine if you want to do that. Everyone has a right to practice it the way they want. Just be honest about how you're practicing. So now my next one is that I state that DS is a relationship at its heart. I think that's kind of like a duh moment. Everyone knows it's a relationship. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that practice it with no love, no care. They just want to practice it with someone. And if that someone's okay with that, that's fine. But for most of us, DS is a relationship. I know for me, like I can't do DS. I can't do master slave. I can't do DDLG unless there's some kind of relationship there, unless I can be in a relationship with that person. And I've had dynamics collapse because that person was not compatible with me in a relationship and I wasn't compatible with them. So yet I get a lot of comments and I see a lot of writings on FetLife where people will say, oh, it's just a relationship. If you're good at relationships, you're good at DS. And that's 1000% not true. You can be a good relationship partner. You can listen to your partner. You can do the good partner things. But DS is not just doing relationship shit. And I have so many comments when I write something on FetLife, and people will say, that's just any relationship. I find those comments to be inane, bullshit comments. If all you do is you look at DS as any relationship, then you're not getting the point. There's the relationship, then there's the DS layer on top. The relationship might be the cake, or the cake might be the DS, but then you have the icing on it too. That's the other thing. So which is it? Are you having a relationship that's the foundation is DS, that the cake is DS, or are you having a relationship where the relationship's the DS, or the relationship's the cake, and the DS is the icing? You can't have it both ways. The cake can't be the ice. It's the icing and the cake can't both be the relationship. You have to have some part of it that has a power exchange, that has a DS. Otherwise, it's not DS. And again, I'm gonna get hate, but that's fine. You can't call it DS if you're not doing DS stuff, and that's just, I don't know, it should be a no-brainer moment, but people still don't understand this. You can be good at a relationship, and you can be shit at DS. You can be good at DS and be shit at a relationship. Me personally, I think I'm pretty good at DS, and I'm okay at relationships. Like, I wish I was better at relationships. But you can't say, well, I have DS, and it's just a damn relationship. I mean, you can, but I'm going to laugh at you probably. Number four is don't set the complimentary side up for failure. We talked about this a little bit in the bratting aspect, but this goes for subs and this goes for doms both. Don't take the complimentary side, the person you're with, and set them up for failure. A lot of people look at this as adversarial, and I've written about that before as well, where you people look at, I'm the Dom, I have to win over the sub. And I don't mean win over, like win their heart. I mean, I have to beat them. I have to beat them at this game that I'm playing. And if you view it as a game, again, probably not going to succeed at DS. So people look at it as adversarial, but for me, it's not. And I see people that will set the other side up, and some people do it for fun, and that's part of the negotiation and part of the dynamic, and that's okay. But if your sub is struggling or your Dom is struggling, don't fight them for the power. Don't try to hold things back from them just to see what they'll do. There's a lot of people that test DS. They have this feeling of, well, if I'm not getting constant tasks or rules or punishments, then I'm not part of DS. And that to me is just, it's setting things up for failure because, you know, there's times you're not going to be able to test those things. And you get so into testing them, you know, your Dom goes into the hospital and goes into surgery. You're still testing the dominance? Like, dude, don't do that. So, I mean, it sounds kind of dumb, but people do this and they don't even realize they're doing it. Sometimes I have to point it out. Like, people will be like, well, I don't know he's dominating me unless, you know, really I'm getting, punished and stuff. Like, you have so little trust in your dominant or your submissive that if you're not constantly getting attention or constantly getting some reaction from them, that's... I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to talk to people who think that this is correct, but this happens all the time. So I don't know what else to say about that. Don't set your other side up for failure. Don't give subs tasks they can't complete unless that's part of your fun, unless you both have agreed to that. But that's mentally damaging. It mentally undermines the DS part of your relationship. Number five is, again, kind of a no-brainer. Negotiations never die. For me, they're like a living organism, and small negotiations happen a lot. Large negotiations happen rarely, but they still do. I have this saying in DS, and people, I don't know if they're just not digesting it or it's kind of a no-brainer also, but anything can be renegotiated. But you cannot expect the DS or the relationship to survive a major renegotiation. So I've been in situations before where people wanted to, we got into DS, and that was part of the relationship. The relationship was there, the DS was there, but the submissive maybe wanted to start kind of peeling some of the DS back. Maybe they didn't feel comfortable with it, you know. And I'm not one that's going to force people to do things they're not comfortable with. That's going against consent. That's going against, you know, good judgment. It's not something that you ever want to do, obviously. So I've had subs that want to pull back certain aspects. You know, certain aspects we can pull back. That's not a big deal. But for me, if I've built that relationship on the foundation of DS and they want to pull a lot of the DS stuff back, I have to just shake their hand and say goodbye. Like, I'm not going to coerce them into doing that. I'm not going to try to beg them and plead. And because obviously if that's something they're not feeling anymore, then they're not feeling it. But they can't get mad at me when I'm not feeling the relationship either, because that's the foundation we built it on. So I tell people that, you know, you can renegotiate any time, but people have this thing where I can renegotiate and the relationship stays together. That's not always true. That you can renegotiate and it can kill the relationship. It doesn't mean you don't renegotiate. If there's something that's not working, it's not working. You know, I came from a 16-year vanilla marriage, okay? She wasn't 16 years old, by the way. She was 3 years older than me, just to clarify. But I came from a 16-year vanilla marriage where, you know, honestly, I tried to renegotiate. You know, I tried to renegotiate and I tried to add things. I was a changing person. She was not a changing person. And, you know, I had to walk away. It's not, you know, beyond the kink and the sex and the things like that, nothing in the marriage was working. She tried to renegotiate some things. I tried to renegotiate some things. She renegotiated into a fact where, you know, the relationship was going to be completely about the kids. I obviously love my kids, but I wasn't going to make my relationship entirely about the kids. So we changed. Things changed for us. We tried to renegotiate with each other. We couldn't meet on the same page. We had to we had to part ways. It sucks, but that's part of life sometimes. If you're in business and you're negotiating a contract and you can't come to terms, you have to walk away. If someone says, I want this for, you know, X dollars, and you're saying, no, I need way more dollars than that, then, and you can't come to a middle ground or you can't come to a compromise, then you have to walk away from that. It's not going to work. You can't say, I'll take it for this amount of money and then renegotiate later and expect that negotiation to take, you know, just because someone got in the middle of something. It's not gonna help. It's not gonna work. So for me, negotiations never die, but you have to be cognizant that for some people they can't accept a renegotiation, and that's gonna be okay. That has to be okay. Number six is, for me, power exchange is at its heart still an exchange. This kind of goes back to what we're talking about with contracts, and like if you compare them and do an analogy of business contracts. So again, it's an exchange. If both sides can't live up to the exchange, if both sides can't follow through on their end and make good with their promises, then it's no longer an exchange. And it power exchange for me can't be a power struggle. It has to be given, it has to be agreed to, and that has to be happened. If there are little minor adjustments, do people mess up? Absolutely. But at its heart, you can't just turn the exchange off. You can't turn it off and turn it on when you want it. You can't say, well, my Dom is good, but you know, I don't feel like submitting right now. You know, and there's times where you can't, like illnesses and things like that, and like, you know, when vanilla people are around, you can't always do those things. But in the instances when you can, if you're pulling that back and holding that back just because you don't feel like it, then you're not 24/7, obviously, and you may not even be DS. A lot of people think that this is something you can turn off and on, and there's some people you can turn it off and on with, and they're totally fine with it. Again, going back to negotiations, if the negotiation is, hey, you know, during the day, we're not going to do this, or during my work day, we're not going to do this, or during, you know, times where, you know, the moon's in full moon, we're not going to do this. Whatever you pick, if that's negotiated and agreed upon, that's fine. But if you negotiate and you agree, I'm going to exchange power, and it's going to happen these times, and then you can't do it those times, or you can't accept the power of those times from the dominant side, then DS is, I don't want to say it doesn't exist, but it's very unreliable. And unreliable DS for me is not DS. So the next one, I'm wiping my face because this is one that is pervasive, but I feel like I've kind of helped make it less pervasive because I've been very vocal about it. But the minute you view dominance or submission as a gift, it will become more valuable in your eyes than the other side. DS is not a gift. The fact that you're able to do it absolutely is a gift. The fact that you have a good partner to do it with, you may view that as a gift. But you do not take your side and say, this is the gift. You don't. I've never seen this is way more prominent and prevalent in the submissive side than the dominant side. I've literally never seen a submissive who says, my submission is a gift, that is having success in DS, period. It isn't, to me, is a very equal side. It's not equal, but it's equal. It takes just as much effort to do both sides, but that effort comes from different places. So for me, for a submissive, it takes a lot of effort to be able to give up that control and have that trust and have that reliance on someone. But for a dominant, it takes a lot of effort to be able to take care of someone and to guide someone and to be there to advise and make the decisions and lead. It takes effort on both sides. Just because one effort's different than the other effort doesn't make it better, doesn't make it worse, but it is effort. So when you come to someone and you say, look, the shit I'm giving you is a gift. Like, it's way more valuable than your shit. So let's not pretend. You're never going to have success that way. You may have temporary success, but you're never going to have long-term sustained success in DS when you view what you're doing as more valuable or better or cooler or harder or, you know, having some more inherent value than the other side. Why are you doing it if you think you're better than the other person? It's like being a rich person and getting in a relationship with a poor person and lording that over them all the time. Like, oh, you know, I have more money than you. I drive a, what, a Lexus or a, you know, a fancy car, and you drive, you know, a Ford. Like, it's not, you're not getting anywhere by doing that. You just look like an asshole. So I don't understand why people still do that. It's starting to kind of die down a little bit. I don't want to credit myself with that dying down, but trust me, I've been very, very vocal about it everywhere I can be. So I think, again, you can't view your side as being a different side, as being a better side. You have to take pride in it. Absolutely. You have to, you know, be happy with it and be contented in it. But if you view it as something more valuable, what you're saying is I've had to put more effort into this. You won't realize the effort the other person's putting in. 100%. So last two I'm going to talk about today. The first of the last two is coming to DS from an honest space. There's so many people that come into DS and they don't know what they want, and that's fine. But you have to say, I don't know what I want. And there's a lot of people that come in knowing what they want or having an idea of what they want, but asking and portraying themselves as different things to get what they need without being honest about it. I always tell people, if you ask me honestly, you may not get it. But if you try to manipulate that shit out of me, you 100% will not get it. If I feel like I'm being manipulated, and it's even if it's something I want to do, and this is horrible to say, even if it's something I want to do, if you're trying to manipulate it out of me, you will never get it. I will lock that shit down in a vault, and it will never come out. But there's people that come at this from dishonest spaces, and they try to, you know, they try to move people like chess pieces into getting what they want. And it comes from the dominant or the submissive side, the D side or the S side. It's not exclusive to one or the other. But that is very dishonest. And to me, DS has to be done from an honest space. We talk about negotiating. We talk about consent, things like that. And yet there's still so many people out there that are doing things dishonestly. They will consent to something that they don't agree with. And later on, they'll say, I never agreed to that. And there's people that will coerce consent out of submissives. And there's people that will, you know, say, yeah, I want to be your submissive or I want to be your dominant. And they have no intention of doing that. They're trying to get attention or sex or love or, you know, a dopamine hit. They're trying to get something out of it, and they're not being honest with what they're getting out of it. Like, you know, the problem is if someone came to you and they said, hey, I'm just looking for attention for a couple hours, You may be like, dude, I'm not looking for that. I'm not going to give that to you. But if they come to you and they say, oh, I want to be your submissive or I want to be your dominant, and you're feeling that, you're feeling the vibe, or you're wanting to pursue that, you start pursuing that with them and you realize really quickly, oh, they only want attention. I mean, it just leaves you mad. It leaves you unfulfilled, mad, and angry, and you end up not trusting people. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, those temporary things the person may be getting out of you, they're not worth very much. And you know, it's a well you can only come to one time, because, you know, if you fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me twice, shame on me. So, you know, people come to that and they try to do it again. Like, I want to know what people's honest intention is the very first time we talk. Like, you know, people don't know exactly what they want, but they know what they're open to and they know what they're capable of. You know, you get people who are in relationships that aren't polyamorous that will tell you, oh, yeah, I want to, you know, pursue something with you. And they absolutely have no ability to do that. Their partner's not going to let them do that, or they're going to try to cheat. Again, just dishonesty. It's you can't build any kind of DS on dishonesty. So the last one, the one I'm going to end with today, is that for me, DS should be about joy, contentment, and peace. A lot of the things I've talked about are things that are precursors to joy, contentment, and peace. You know, not having to fight over a power exchange that wasn't a negotiated fight is peace, is contentment, is reliability, sustainability, things like that. There's lots of people that do DS, and I don't know if they just think it's part of their personality and they have to do it, or they think it's expected of them because of society, or it's a counterculture thing and they want to do it to F off society, whatever. I don't, people do it for weird reasons. Again, this goes back to honesty. But you have to be honest with yourself. Are you getting what you need out of it? Is it fulfilling you? Is it making you happy? Is it something that causes constant conflict, or is it something that causes constant joy? If you can't answer that question, or you answer the question and it's, this is making me insanely unhappy, then I think you have to kind of re-examine where you're coming at it from. You know, people, I tell people all the time, you know, this is another thing, and I could make this another point. You don't have to do DS. There's nothing that requires you to do DS. You want to be part of the community? I get that. You don't have to do DS. There's plenty of kinks. There's plenty of sadism and masochism and whatever else you want. But you don't have to do DS. There's no requirement. You didn't hit 21 and sign a contract where you were required to do DS. If you're doing it for unhonest reasons, to fit in, to impress somebody, to get things that aren't making you happy, then you probably don't need to be doing it. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that. But, you know, a lot of people I tell this to, that I talk to, are still going to do it anyway. It doesn't bring them joy or happiness, but they are so locked in on it that they're going to do it. And I feel sorry for those people. But there's nothing I can do. I want to show you that there's paths to make you happy. And DS isn't always that path to make you happy. And I think people have to realize that. But again, you can't lead a horse to water. Or you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's the same. So anyway, I hope my tenets, even if you didn't agree with them, I hope they raise questions or thoughts in your head about how you're approaching these things. Again, you're not going to agree with every one of them. And, you know, some of them you may agree with, but not agree with every point. But I think they make logical sense to me. And I think if people build DS thinking about these things, I think it can definitely help the DS be sustainable. You know, is it a guaranteed silver bullet to make DS happen and be happy? Probably not. You know, there's people involved. You know, when there's people involved, there's nothing you can do sometimes except, you know, hang on and take the ride, I guess. So anyway, I appreciate everyone listening. I hope everyone's still tuning in. Lots more podcasts coming. Hopefully we'll do one a week and get them out. Again, check out my sites. Check out my profile on FetLife, Rope Tiger Daddy. I appreciate everyone tuning in, and until next time.